Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, 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 welcome to Relationship Central with Lady Newell, and you are tuned in to this episode of Womanly Word Revamped, everybody. Womanly Word is back just for this one night. If I get a good enough response, I'll start doing it again more often. This is a show that I used to do, I think in 2014, 2015. Some of you guys may remember it. It was called Womanly Word. And I would just kind of get on here and give a word to the women, word of encouragement, and just talk about some different issues and sometimes have guests on. So I want to just give you a little encouragement tonight in a couple of areas that were brought to my attention. And I want to talk to you guys about it from a biblical perspective as well as a practical perspective. You know, we give you life application with a spiritual foundation to enrich your life and relationships. So I do have the phone number open for you. If you want to call by phone and listen, it's 657-383-1937. That's a link for Blog Talk Radio. You can also go on to blogtalkradio.com/relationship central and listen by web as well. And so you can do that. If you have any problems hearing me over the web, please let me know because I'm doing it a little differently tonight. So you guys on Facebook, welcome. I welcome, welcome, welcome you. I'm not going to keep you on long. I only plan to be on maybe half an hour. Unless this goes longer, I'm willing to talk. But let's get into these topics on Womanly Word Revamped. And I want to welcome you back. I'm so excited to be doing this tonight. This is so nostalgic for me. This brings back memories. You know, I am Stephanie Newell. I'm not going to throw no titles at you tonight because let's just be honest. There's too many. I wear a lot of hats, you guys, and I dabble in a little bit of everything. I dabble in fitness, which is my latest endeavor as a fitness consultant because I went through a weight loss journey myself. So I want to help my brothers and sisters with that. I don't charge for that. I am a preacher of the gospel as well. I'm stationed, quote unquote, at Community Missionary Baptist Church in the city of Compton, California, the pink church on the corner of 148th and Central Ave. I want you guys to come visit us at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. We also have an early morning service at 8 o'clock that will bless you. But please visit us at Community Baptist if you get a chance. We are building up that 11 o'clock service and moving forward in the Lord in this modern age. Okay, so we want to get the young people in there. We want to do some events for you guys. So let me throw this at you real quick before I get started. I want you guys to look out for our Singles 101 class. Okay, that's held at Community Baptist as well. Last Thursday of every month for March, April, and May. This month, the topics of conversation are going to be the art of conversation. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about as far as your dating. And we're going to talk about, we're also going to talk about online dating. So the last Thursday of this month, you guys, come to Community Baptist and we're going to have our Singles 101 class. Now, listen to this. We're going to have Dr. Rael come to us in May, on May 31st, you guys. He is the relationship doctor. He teaches you about body language. He can tell you how to know if your best friend wants to be with your husband. Do you hear me? According to body language. So we're going to have him at our Singles 101 class in May, and we want to see you guys there, especially you singles. This is going to help you in your dating life because nowadays you just have to be a detective, you know, to know if people are being honest with you, because people have all of these games and gimmicks. And, you know, especially for us Christian women, we come into the church and we want to, you know, meet a good brother, and you just never know about them, and it goes the other way around. as well. So I want to talk about a little bit of that tonight. I want to say hello to Pastor Janae, Evangelist Patricia Roberts, Tiny, my sis, what's up? Sister Andrea, God bless you. I'm so happy to see you. First Lady Gaines, God bless you. From Little Rock, praise the Lord. I'm glad to see you on tonight. Carolyn Henderson Chamberson, God bless you. Or Chambers, I should say, God bless you. First Lady Camille Jones, welcome tonight. I'm glad to have you on. I won't keep you long. Let's get to the point. I want to talk tonight. Let me grab my Bible here. And if you ladies have a Bible handy, I'm not going to do a full Bible study tonight. I just want you to look at a scripture tonight. Turn to the book of Ruth for me. Because what I want to talk to you about tonight is the myth of Boaz, the myth of Boaz, okay? And I'm also going to talk to you about what has happened. What do you do now if somebody has cheated inside your marriage? So I've got a little bit for the singles tonight, and I've got a little bit for the married folk tonight. And this sparked me, something sparked me to do this again, because I went to a love, sex, and relationship clinic at the Word Center in Bellflower, and they a wonderful forum for singles and married folks to come in, ask questions, and get real practical answers, some real stuff, not no super spiritual stuff, some real answers based upon the Word of God. So that's what I'm going to give you tonight. And so let's start with the myth of Boaz really quick for the singles. So turn in your Bibles, ladies and gentlemen, to the book of Ruth for me. I just want to touch on something really quick for you. I've got to go to another scripture here. You guys bear with me, because Ruth, we've been taught, while I'm going there, I want to tell you that we've been taught, and it's a cliche that we say in the church, I'm waiting for Boaz. I'm waiting for Boaz. Hey, Danny B, God bless you. Sister Ross, God bless you. Danae, what's up, girl? What's up, girl? So thank you for coming in. We've been taught in church that we need to sit around and wait for Boaz. But ladies, tonight, I want you to know that we've been taught wrong. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not saying that I'm not telling you not to wait. Okay? Because if you want to wait for your Boaz to come, then that's what I want you to do. Okay? But for the sisters that are tired of waiting, I want to share something with you tonight that's going to bless you. Okay, so do me a favor. And if you are at the book of Ruth, say amen. I got it, somebody. I'm just playing with you. Okay, so we are going to Ruth. Go to chapter 3 for me, and we're going to look at something. Hey, Whitney. Hey, Cynthia. LaTanya. God bless you guys. I'm about to bless y'all tonight really quick. Okay, this is a quick word. Go to the book of Ruth, chapter 3 for me, and let's look at something here. Okay. We're talking about the myth of Boaz and how we've been taught wrong on how to deal with men as single women. I'm married now, but then I'm going to share my testimony with you of how I connected with my husband, and it's not your typical Christian lady story, okay? So listen to this. In the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verse 1 says, out of New NKJV, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he was winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now winnowing means he was throwing up the barley, trying to get the seeds to drop down and let the wind blow all the mess away. Okay, so Boaz was out there doing this. And so therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself and put on your best garment. We're going to stop right there. Listen to me. We're talking about Ruth here, and we know what happened. Ruth, Naomi is her mother-in-law. Ruth's husband died, so she was a widow, and Naomi was her mother-in-law. So she followed Naomi as her sister went another way. She chose to follow Naomi. Now, here she is, a widow with her mother-in-law. And Boaz is actually related to them. And back then, when you had relatives, if a woman's husband died, the next in line in that family could take her, or they could say no, somebody else could have her. So this is what happened with Ruth and Boaz ultimately. But listen to me here. This is important. Naomi is telling her what to do to get her man. Do you hear me? Naomi is telling her daughter-in-law, I don't want you to be by yourself. Did you hear this? Listen to this. She said, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you because you follow me, because you chose to stay with me, because you're looking after me, because you are loyal to me. I need to do something for you. So I'm going to try to do my best to make provision for you. So listen here. She's talking to an elder. She's talking to a mother. She's talking to an older woman. And this is what I always tell women in my ministry is do not ignore these mothers. Do not ignore these senior women because they have a lot of wisdom and knowledge that they can give you. And this is a prime example. Ruth is following Naomi's advice to a T. So she tells her here, therefore, this is what I want you to do. Wash yourself. Ladies, make sure you clean and you smell good. Okay? We don't need to be going out of the house in pajamas, having showered, having brushed our teeth, having washed our faces. Listen, I know you may have run out of coffee in your house or your apartment and you want to run to the 7-Eleven. But listen to me. Keep yourself together. How is it that a man is going to notice you and look at you and say, she's wife material. Maybe she's somebody I want to date when you in some pajama pants and some Uggs. I mean, honestly, ladies, this is what I'm saying. So Naomi says, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Listen, anoint yourself. What she's saying is, anoint yourself, put on your best garment, make sure you smell good. Ladies, go get you some expensive perfume, splurge every now and then. You don't have to use it every day. Go get you some real perfume, not no toilet water. Go pay that money, get you some perfume, and save it for special occasions, okay? And when you feel like going out looking good and you smelling, you spray that perfume on when it's time for a date. Leave a lasting impression on that man. My goodness, that woman smells good. And from that point on, if another woman is in your perfume, he's going to think about you. You hear me? Women, we got to start going back to the art of romance. We got to start going back to the art of wooing a man because we can do it with a simple bat of an eyelash. We can do it with a simple bat of an eyelash. Do you hear me? So let's go. Let's move forward in this because I don't want to keep you long tonight. She says, put on your best garment, not those pajama pants. Get dressed before you leave the house, ladies. And I'm saying this, it may sound simple to you, but you would be surprised when I drop my kids off at school. When I get up early in the morning to go to school, if I'm not headed to the gym, I at least get up, brush my teeth, wash my face, put some fresh clothes on, even though I showered the night before, to take my kids to school. I may stop by the 7-Eleven, and you would be surprised how many women I see coming in there looking like they just got up out of the bed. And I understand some of you guys are tired. You're just jumping up to go do something, maybe drop something off in the mail. I understand that, ladies, but I'm talking about those of y'all that you want to be with somebody. You're tired of being alone, and you want a man. So let's just cut to the chase here. Amen, somebody? So let's go here. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. Go where he is, okay? Do you hear me? Go down there where you know he will be. Sometimes you have to be strategic about this thing, and it's not a game. The Lord says you have not because you ask not. And every time in the Bible, when the Lord heals somebody or delivers somebody, they had to play a part in that. So what I'm talking to you about is the part that you need to do. This is your part. This is the work that you have to put in, okay? So wash yourself. Make sure you look good and you smell good at all times. I take a shower before I get in the bed with my husband. And yes, I do spray my good perfume on because he is worth my good perfume every night, ladies. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have to get back to the art of romancing our men. And I'll get to you married, ladies, in a moment. But listen to me. Listen to me here. She says, wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your best garment, go down to the threshing floor where he is. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. So don't disturb him while he's in the middle of something. Ladies, let me put you up on game here. Men like to focus on one thing at a time. I'm going to let that sink in. Remember, our niche is relationships. Men like to focus on one thing at a time. Let me put you up on game. Most inventors were men. Not saying they aren't women. Most inventors were men. Why? Because men will zone in on one thing. They will focus on that one thing, and they will do it until it's done. Women, we like to put our hands in a little bit of everything. We are all over the place. You understand what I'm saying? So it takes us longer to finish a project. It takes us longer to make up our minds. We get indecisive. So men don't like to be bombarded with too many things at one time. I was watching a video the other day with Tyler Perry, and he said something very important. He said on his road to success, he learned something, and this is what it was. He said he needed to put all his focus into one thing. He said what he knew he needed to do was do a play. That's all he wanted to do. And he knew that once he got that done, that everything else would fall into place. And that's exactly what he did. So his advice was, stop spreading yourself thin. Focus on one thing. That's a man's mind. You hear me? That's not a woman's advice. A woman gonna tell you, you are woman. You can get it all done. You hear me? When you go in the kitchen, women are cooking everything at one time to get it done. When you go into the kitchen and a man's cooking, he's gonna cook the chicken first. Then he's going to go to them green beans. Then he's going to go to something else because he's putting his focus in one thing. So Naomi is telling Ruth here, do not bombard the man. Let him finish what he's doing. Let him finish what he's focused on. And then this is when I want you to make your move. Then, this is verse 4 in chapter 3 in the book of Ruth. Then it shall be when he lies down. You hear me? Let me move this Bible closer because this is some good stuff, ladies. You hear me? She says here, then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. Okay, this is very important right here because there's a lot of theological debate that Naomi was telling her when you go in there, lay at his feet. So a lot of people will assume that they went a little further than that, but I beg to differ. Ruth was a lady, okay, and she was getting some advice from a mother, and I doubt that she went in there and slept with the man. You understand what I'm saying? So this is what I want to say to you. She's saying go in there and cater to him. Let's look at it like that. Go in there and cater to the man. Go in there and uncover his feet, and then just lie down. Just be there for him. Ladies, we got to look at this Bible and read this Bible for understanding. Naomi is saying here, just uncover his feet, cater to him a little bit, and just lie down. Just be there for the man. We got to learn how to be a friend and a companion. We got to stop being so judgmental. And I know I'm digging a little bit deep here. We have to learn to stop being so judgmental about what comes out of our men's mouth or the men that we're dating. See, when they say something that rubs us the wrong way or we may not be comfortable with, the first thing we do is go like this. First thing we do is start, huh, brother, what, bro? We start twisting up our faces, and we tell them exactly what we're thinking in our minds because women wear our hearts on our sleeves, most of us. So we twist up our faces. We change the tone of our voices, our intonation, and we're like, huh, you did what? Wait, what did you say you were thinking about? Stop being so judgmental and just be a companion. Just lie down next to the man sometimes. Stop being so needy and making it about you all the time. Women, let's be honest. We're vain, okay? I don't consider myself to be a conceited person, but women, we like to make sure our hair is looking okay. We like to make sure we don't have any bags under our eyes showing. We're so consumed with looking good, and that's because we know that men are visual creatures. And this is why Naomi told her, put on your best garment. Wash yourself. Make sure your appearance is clean and nice and appealing. This is important, and this is God giving this to us in his word. Women, if you are out there and you're single and you're looking for a man, these are the basics. Make sure you look good. Make sure you smell good at all times. Don't just let it go because you've been single for a while. I saw a sister on Facebook the other day. I'm not going to mention her name. She's a single sister. She's older, and she's plus size, and she was on there wearing them clothes. You hear me? Do you hear me? And owning it, honey. You don't have to just because you're single or you feel like your body image isn't where it should be because society says this or that. Listen to me. If you don't like the way you look, do something about it. Do something about it. Do your part. Okay, so that's another subject. Let's move on with Naomi and her advice. So she's saying, uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. So just wait for him to tell you what he wants you to do next. We always try to direct everything. I was at dinner with my husband tonight because he wanted to go to the bookstore and purchase a book. And so we went to dinner tonight, and he ordered an Arnold Palmer for his drink. And he mentioned that it was watered down. So me and my motherly self and my trying to do my wifely duties, I'm flagging down the waitress like, trying to take care of my husband because he didn't like his drink. And he's telling me, no, it's okay. And I'm like, wait, honey, but it was watered down. And at the end of it all, she comes over and I'm like, can you get him another one? You know, and he's like, but wait, I was going to order lemonade. I said, oh, well, you know, I'm sorry. And he then tells me, you know, I can tell her. And this is just me trying to be a wife and take care of my husband. But sometimes we do too much as women, because especially when we have kids, because we get used to mothering and nesting and taking care of everything and speaking for our children and doing this. And we have to remind ourselves, especially when we have kids, flip that switch when you talk to your husband. I know your kids may be on the right and your husband may be on the left, but flip that switch when you go from talking to your kids to talking to your husband. Change your tone of voice. Change the expression on your face. Change your demeanor, honey. Do you hear what I'm saying? One thing that irritates my husband is twisted up faces, and I do it a lot. So it's a compromise going on here, but we have to learn tact. Tact in this time has been lost. We have women now that are just brazen to the point where they say whatsoever comes to their mind. It doesn't matter who it hurts, whose feelings it hurts. It doesn't matter what door it may close for somebody. People just are so selfish nowadays that they will say whatever's on their mind regardless of other people's feelings. And to an extent, we should have the freedom of speech to speak our minds without so much worrying about repercussions, but at the same time, we still have to be compassionate towards other individuals, and especially with our men. Okay, so let's move on here. So she was telling her, lie down. He'll tell you to do. Just be cool. Just chill and be a companion. That's what men like. I was talking to my father the other day, and he and my mother divorced a long time ago, but I was asking him. He always talked about how cool she was to hang out with. My mother rode motorcycles. She played sports. She was tomboyish, and my father just loved that. And he said, you know, she just knew how to hang. She just knew how to be there. She just knew how to be a friend. We used to have fun together, you know, and if you talk to men that are really in love with their wives, God bless you, all you that are commenting, I will go back and get to them. Men that really love being with their wives, they will tell you, my wife is just fun to be with. She's my friend. And that's what we need to remember, is to stop being so needy and to be a friend and a companion. So it goes on here and it says, and she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. Okay, all that you say to me, I will do. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. Let me stop right there for just a moment. Ruth told Naomi, everything you just told me to do, that's what I'm about to go do. See, we will go get wise counsel. And I told you earlier on in this video, I'm always telling the women that follow my ministry, do not disregard these mothers. Do not disregard the counsel of your grandmother, of your mother, no matter how much older than you she is. These women have wisdom that is invaluable for us young women, okay? So we need not to count them out thinking that we know everything. Ruth told Naomi, she said, I'm going to do exactly what you told me to do. Why? I'm going to eisegete this and say, she probably was saying, you know, you would know more than I would know. You're older than me. You've been there and you've done that. And not only that, you love me and you're looking out for my best interest. And you're trying to take care of me. A lot of times we disregard the advice of our mothers and our grandmothers and even our fathers and grandfathers because we feel they're outdated and they're old and don't know this modern age. Honey, believe me, they have wisdom that you need in this modern age, because this modern age doesn't know it all. Technology can crash. You hear me? And when it does, then what are we going to do? So let's go forward in this. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, good night, my dear. Good night, honey. I love you very much. All right, saying good night to my daughter, y'all. I'm a mama. So then she went down and did all of this. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly. We like to just bulldoze in there. You hear me? I'm a tomboy, you guys. I play sports. I ride motorcycles. I do a little bit of everything. Mind, get, you know, so that's the kind of girl I'm just like my mother was. I can be that way. I'm honest with myself, and I'm honest to everybody. I can be that way. I'm just, and just take over everything if you let me. And it's not because I'm trying to or take anything away from anybody. It's just who I am. It's just in me. Some people are born leaders. Some people are born with a personality trait of if you put them in a situation, they're able to work their way around it and make friends with people easily and things like that. Some people are more reserved. So some of us are like that, especially artistic people, people that do music, people that preach, people that write, you writers in here. Artistic people, we can be very bold, you know what I mean? So we have to be mindful as women not to be too dominant over our men. And that's not saying we cannot be brave, we cannot stand out, we cannot shine, I'm not saying that, because my husband pushes me out front, honey. It does not intimidate him if I'm getting a little applause. You hear what I'm saying? So it's okay to shine, and it's okay to be a strong woman and an independent woman. But sometimes we get so independent, we don't know how to take the help. We don't know how to take the advice. I have gained so much wisdom taking my husband's advice. I have advanced in everything that I do taking my husband's advice. Why? He's older than me, and he has a lot of wisdom. I've done well taking the advice of mothers in the church, my grandmother's advice, my mother's advice, women that are older than me. I have a wonderful sister in here, Nisa Shanae. She's my mentor as far as music goes, and a little bit spiritually as well. She encourages me. I take her advice. I look at you guys, Patricia Robert, all you guys that post on Facebook, I look at you guys. I'm always on Facebook reading because I do a lot of work on there, posting flyers, church, ministry stuff. But I pay attention to what you guys say, and I take wisdom out of it if I can get it. And that's what us women need to do, the millennial women and the women above them like me. We need to start taking wisdom and counsel from older women. Because this stuff we're watching on TV and listening to, all that's in this music nowadays is about sex, drugs, money, and violence. This is not enriching the Christian woman. So we need to continue to enrich ourselves with the Word of God, with prayer, with fellowship, whether it's at the house of God or somebody's house church. We need to continue in the faith, because everything we're getting from society is tearing us down. So we need to remember to take wisdom. Let me move on here. And it says, so she lay down at his feet. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself. And there a woman was laying at his feet. He didn't even know she was there. That's how soft and quiet she was. She was just a gentle presence there in the room for him. And he didn't even know she was there. So when he woke up, he was startled to see her there. And he said, "Who are you?" He said he didn't know who she was. "Who is this woman here in my bed?" So he answered him, "I am Ruth, your maidservant." Because remember, she was working in his field, right? "Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." There goes that boldness, ladies. Remember I told you it's okay to be bold. Ruth told Boaz straight out what she was there for. "Listen, I'm alone, and it's legal for me to be with you. Take me." Let me give you my testimony. When I met my husband, and I'll get right back to this. When I met my husband, I met him at church. Okay. I didn't know him. I followed my pastor to a church at the time he was preaching. My husband went up there only because he thought he was preaching. Okay. It was some confusion. And he ended up emceeing the service. Okay. And yes, I noticed it. The anointing was strong. He was handsome and everything. I was single. You know, and so at the end of the service, long story short, because all the women that had come from my church was there, and every time he got the mic, we was on our feet. "Who is this brother here? You hear me?" So at the back door, I posted myself up right at the back door. You know, I'm a good Christian woman. I wasn't going to be too forward. And I'm sitting there talking to my friend, and as he comes out, I smile at him. I bat my eyelashes and say, "Hello." And he said, "Hello. Good night." And kept walking. Y'all hear me? The man kept going. So needless to say, a couple weeks later, long story short, I ended up reaching out on Facebook to him. And we ended up chatting that way. And now we're married. So here, Ruth was bold. And she said, "Look, I'm alone. And I want you to take me for your wife. Because it'll be legal for us to do that." Okay? So that you, it's okay to be bold. It's okay to reach out to a brother. It's okay to open up the door for him to talk with you. It doesn't make you thirsty. It doesn't make you desperate. There's a way to do things, women. There's a way to do things. A Christian woman can do things in a modest fashion. with boldness to let a man know that you are interested in him. And there is nothing wrong with that in the eyesight of God. We have evidence of it here in the book of Ruth. Okay. And if you want to talk about language, just turn to the Songs of Solomon. Once you get married, you can say all of that. Okay. So let's move on here. And I'm almost done with this part. So she gets from, she's a, and then he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. What is your reputation looking like, lady? Boaz said to her, oh, now I know who you are. And everybody in town knows that you are a virtuous woman. And because you didn't come smiling in my face to get something from me in the beginning, but you were kind to me at the end, after all this time, you were kind to me at the end because of your loving kindness. Remember, she was a gentle presence in the room next to him. She did not try to dominate. She didn't do anything. But when given the opportunity, in the right instance, she didn't force the conversation on him. See, a lot of times we get things on our mind and we force it on our men because we want to talk about it right now. And it's just not the right time. Ruth waited. She did exactly what Naomi counseled her to do. And when the time was right, when the opportunity presented itself, she said to him, I want to be your wife. And he said, because of your loving kindness and because of your reputation, because all my friends know you as a virtuous woman, I will grant your request. And you won't want for anything for the rest of your life. What a beautiful story. What a beautiful story of a bold, faithful, virtuous woman that reached out to a man that she wanted. See, all this time we've been taught we got to sit around and wait for Boaz. But let me fill you in on a little knowledge here. What that is a way, and I'm not saying all pastors are saying this, some of us just don't know any better. What that is for some people is a way to keep you single and in the church and keep your tithe money coming in. Can I just be real with you? If you're a single woman, you're going to keep sending that money right to that basket. You understand me? You're going to keep going to Giveify and sending that money to your church. You understand me? But when a woman gets married, sometimes her husband doesn't want to be in that church. Sometimes he goes to another church. Sometimes he doesn't go to church. Sometimes he wants to do something different with the money. Ladies, listen to me. Think about it. You got to be smart in this modern day, because just as it was back in the Bible days, there's a lot of games and gimmicks in the church now. Read your Bible. You hear me? Read your Bible. Why are we sitting around waiting on Boaz when Ruth went after him? Can somebody answer me that? Let me get to some of these comments before I change the subject. Nisa, God bless you. She's Stephanie, Pastor Jordan, God bless you. Thank you for being on. Pastor Janae, all your comments, wonderful. What scripture? Thank you, Pastor. You got my back on here. Let's see. Hello, somebody. So you guys are agreeing with me tonight, and I'm so glad to hear that. Yes, reputation. Reputation. He said, because you are a virtuous woman and because all my friends know you as that. You guys, it's in Ruth 3. It's right there. Read it. You don't have to sit around and wait for some man to just accidentally notice you. Huh? Come on. Please. Bro, what? Why do I have to sit around as beautiful as I am? As beautiful as you are, as a single woman, why do you have to sit around like this, trying to be unnoticed? That's not Bible. I've already said it, y'all. Ruth was bold in a modest way. She was bold in a wise way, took counsel from a mother, and went and got her man. You don't have to sit around and wait. Yes, be intentional. Yes, be intentional. Hallelujah. Be intentional with it. You don't have to be thirsty. You don't have to chase a man. You don't never chase a man. If he's not interested in you and you can't get to his phone calls, you can only get to him on the weekends or whatever like that, honey, bye. Don't even waste your time. If a man wants you, if he's interested in you, you reach out to him, okay? Maybe somebody you want, reach out to him. If he's not biting back or he's just giving you a little bit here and a little bit there, move on. You hear me? Move on. He's got something else going on. Don't waste your time. When a man is really interested in you, you will be able to get in contact with him. You will be able to go out with him on the weekends and the weekdays. You will be able to know where he lives. You will be able to know where he works. If a man is not giving you this information, if you've been dating somebody for 6 months and you don't know where they live. Honey, move on. Do you hear me? Move on. Y'all stop letting these men play games with you. And if there's any men on here, stop letting women play games with you. Most of the time, it's us getting played, to be honest with you. But this is for the women tonight. Be smart. Don't sell yourself short. You are beautiful. You are intelligent. You are spiritual. You are a daughter of the Most High God. Stop wasting your time with these sorry men that won't give you the time that you want. And that doesn't mean be needy. Just be smart. Let's move on. Next topic I wanted to talk about was detective work in marriage. Listen, there was a topic that came up in that clinic the other night, and I wanted to touch on it this evening because it's a strong topic. Listen to me. The question was, what do you do after they've cheated? If your husband or wife has cheated, or maybe you're in a relationship, shouldn't be having sex if you're not married, and this is exactly why. It's just not good practice. Because when everything is said and done and it doesn't work out, they gone and you left with more baggage. And I'm just keeping it real with you, ladies. This is me. I'm not trying to rebuke nobody or be hard. This is just how I talk. Anybody that knows me will tell you. It's how I preach, it's how I talk. Just move on. This is my advice to y'all, and it's real short. If you married and somebody has cheated, you got two options. Get over it or get out of it. And no, I'm not advocating divorce. No, I'm not saying don't try. I'm not saying don't do your best. I know God hates divorce, and there's a lot of other things he hates that we do and repent for. Some people would disagree with me saying this stuff, but I really don't care. I'm not connected to any organization or anybody that's going to stifle anything that I say but God. So I'm going to tell you the truth. I really don't care. get over it or get out. Let me explain that to you. When I say get over it, when you forgive somebody, listen, if you're going to stay with a man, you need to forgive him. This is Bible. Forgiveness is Bible. I don't need to flip to the scripture. We know forgiveness is of God. If you're going to stay with the man, forgive him. And forgiveness doesn't mean bringing the stuff up every time you get upset. That's not forgiveness. That's a lie. That's saying you forgave somebody and you really didn't. Yes, it's about character and integrity. Absolutely. Absolutely. If you say you forgive someone, what that means is I'm not going to bring it up anymore. Unless it's just something that happened to come up that we're both equally talking about. If you're bringing the cheating up and throwing it in their face every time you get a chance, you're wrong. And that's not forgiveness. You're wasting your time. Because let me tell you why. Because if you continue to do that and bring it up and throw it in his face every time you get upset or it comes to your mind, it's not going to work. He's going to leave eventually. Or he's going to go sleeping with somebody else and really leave you. I'm just being honest, ladies. We can't either forgive him and stop dwelling on it, move forward. And when I say move forward, I'm not going to leave you hanging. Let me tell you what I mean. Make new memories. Make new firsts. Do new things instead of the same old, break the monotony. You understand what I'm saying? Listen to me. I know I'm young, but this is not my first time being married. Okay? I've made my mistakes too. I've made my bad decisions, and I've been there and I've done that. Trust me. And I got a lot of stories I can share with y'all. I was in the Army. I traveled the world. I've been married more than once. I have twins. I got so many stories I want to share with you guys, testimonies that have really blessed me. But what I'm telling you right now from personal experience, get over it. Stop bringing it up. Stop letting the cheating and the hurt that's in your heart dictate your words and your actions and your attitudes and your facial expressions and your demeanor. Quit thinking about it. You hear what I'm saying? The battle is in here. I'm a Romans girl. I love the Apostle Paul because I'm all about personal responsibility and self-control. We all mess up. We all slip up and say things that are on our mind. But listen to me, ladies. It's in your mind. This is what we need to get control of right here. It's not the devil. It's the flesh. It's that nasty flesh. And you can control it right here and with the Spirit of God that rests on the inside of you. Get over that stuff, or it's going to really tear up your marriage and you will be alone for real. You understand me? Get over it and stop bringing it up. Stop bringing it up. I don't know who I'm talking to right now. It's somebody on here because the Lord is pressing this on me. Stop bringing it up or he will leave or go to yet another woman. And I'm not giving him an out or saying that he's okay. What I'm telling you is we got to own up to our part. We have to do our jobs. And if we do, this is what I said at the clinic the other night. If we do our part, you won't be worried about him cheating. You won't be worried, even if he did it before. If you do your part, if you create those new memories, if you create those new firsts, if you put new things on his mind, change your bedroom around, do something different in your house, make it a sanctuary, put some orchids and some candles in there, do something different and quit thinking about that last woman. She was a jump off. You hear me? A jump off. Who's in the house? And whose house is it? Whose apartment is it? Whose home is it? The cheating is done, and it's nothing you can do about it. But what you can do for yourself, for your husband, and for your marriage is get over it. And I'm just being real, and that's just basic forgiveness. God said that he would throw all your wrongdoing, all of our sin, everything that displeases him. He said he would throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. He said he will remember it no more. Why are you? And that leads me to my next piece of advice. If you're not going to get over it, get out of it. Bye. Just leave now. Pack your bags. Tell him to pack his, whatever the situation is, and just get over it. I'm sorry. Get out of it. Because you wouldn't get over it. You only have two choices. You can run and say, you know, I don't know who's on here. I am not advocating divorce. I'm not saying get divorced. I'm not saying don't. Okay, I put that disclaimer out there already. What I'm saying is if you don't get over it, you're wasting your time. If you don't get over it, the marriage is going to end anyway. If you don't get over it, you're going to be alone anyway. And then what you're going to do is you're going to carry that baggage and that bitterness to the next man. And that won't work either. It's not like the old days where men were really dutiful and got married to women and stayed there regardless of what was going on, built them houses and may have had affairs, but they never left. Them days are over. These men now, and even these us women, we don't have the patience. We will leave somebody at the drop of a dime. Am I being real, y'all? Can I get some hearts or likes on that? We are so impatient. We don't want to wait for anything nowadays. We don't want to wait it out. We don't want to try. We don't want to forgive. We don't want to, we just want to wallow in our little heartbreak and misery and just throw in the towel. You know what I mean? So I'm just giving you practical modern knowledge. These men now are not like the men of old. Do you hear me? They will leave you. And if they don't, they will be with another woman the entire time. Let me plug this phone up. They will be with somebody. Okay, they will leave you because let me tell you what a man wants. He wants to be happy. He wants to be happy and he wants respect. And of course, sex. It's only three things they want. They want happiness, they want respect or honor, and they want sex. And they want some peace of mind. You know what I mean? Just some peace. Who wants to come home to chaos and attitude and just a horrible atmosphere? Nobody wants that. And that's part of the thing that Ruth was telling Naomi. Listen, if we do our job, we don't have to worry about cheating. So get over it or get out of it. And if you're going to stay in it, get over it and do your part. Make some new memories and all that. That's my advice for you guys tonight. I'll keep going if you guys want, but those were the two things that I wanted to talk about tonight. So if you guys, I would love to see you guys at our Singles 101. It's every last Thursday for March, April, and May. And we talk about information like this. We talk about what you want to talk about. Let me show you a couple of things. Because the reason that we do this, and I was so happy the PJs at the Word Center do a wonderful job with this. When you're a pastor, when you have a ministry, you can't always focus on let's say singles or married. You can only do so much, so many times a year. So we took on this niche to help other pastors and just to help the community, the singles and married folk with their relationships, because we've been mistaught about a lot of stuff over the years, and we're clearing up that and making that truth. Yes, you want substance in marriage, not surface. Love is loving someone in spite of. Love isn't what you feel. It's actions. Monique Brown, you are absolutely right. Love is always an action word. Love is not just what comes out of your mouth. Love is not just putting a ring on somebody's finger. Love is getting through the hard times. Love is when somebody finds out they have cancer and they start deteriorating and you still with them. Love is being loyal. Love is staying the test of time. Love is showing every day. Love is compromising when you know something bothers your spouse. Love is a lot of things. Love is not pleasant all the time. Sometimes love is tough and love is hard. There are different kinds of love. And one thing that we like to teach is Eros love in marriage, because a lot of times that gets neglected. We don't set up the environment for lovemaking. We don't start the romance in the morning. We don't give our spouses those little compliments. We don't cover them with our love. And that's one thing that I like talking about as well, covering our spouses with love. And I mean Eros love, erotic love. You hear me? And this ain't no nothing funny or strange. I'm talking about married folk. Your bed is undefiled. That's another sanctuary. It's a place of worship unto God. Have some fun with it. We get up there and we use our gifts and have fun with those. We teach and have fun with that. We preach, have fun with that. We evangelize and have fun with that. We sing and have fun with that. Why not have fun with your Eros love that the Lord has provided for you and your husband? Why not? Listen, let me say this too. There was a question I didn't really get to touch on. Porn is a sin when you're single, when you marry. Why? Because when you lust after someone else, you've already committed a sin. And when you watch porn, you're looking at other people to get yourself excited. So let me give you an alternative. If you're married, make your own video. Put your camera right up there. Because you know what? I haven't found it in the Bible to tell me that that's wrong. And that's why Negroes is creeping out. I'm sorry. I'm just being real. That's why they're creeping out. We don't want to have any fun. We don't want to do anything. We want to be prudish. We want to be spiritual. Oh, I'm too holy to do that with my body. Girl, bye. For real, you was doing it before. You was doing it for the last Negro. Really? You won't do it for your husband? I'm... That's why I stopped doing Wembley Word, y'all. I'm just too raw with it, because I can't beat around the bush about it. That's just not me. I can't be politically correct about this one, y'all. You was doing it for the last man. You was shaking your behind in front of the last man. Why you can't give your husband a lap dance? You were doing it for the last man. You were doing it in the world. You were drinking in the world, and you were drinking the best liquor. You were smoking in the world, and you were smoking the best weed. You were snorting the best cocaine. You were spending all your money. Why can't you do in excellence what you do for your husband? Because you did it in excellence in the world. Honey, you was drinking top shelf. You hear me? Be a top shelf wife. Be a top shelf single Christian woman. Don't open your legs for everybody. Please don't. Please, none of them. Because they're not going to do nothing but run around the church and tell on you. And then you're going to have a reputation, not one like Ruth. It won't be virtuous. Stop selling yourself short, ladies. If I have some brothers on here, please let me know. What kind of woman is it that you're looking for? Someone that's just loose and out there? Because what I'm hearing from the brothers, ladies, we do a lot of counseling. We do a lot of talking to single people, married people. What I'm hearing from the brothers is that the Christian women are too loose. I'm going to let that marinate. I'm just telling you guys what we hear. The brothers are saying they cannot differentiate Christian women from worldly women. They're coming in church with club clothes. And some of them don't have anything else. So y'all that's judging you wrong, especially you older women. Sorry, I'm not rebuking y'all mothers or anything, but I'm just saying, mothers, if you're on here, we have to leave some room for these people coming in from the world. They don't have church clothes. Everybody's not going to come in a skirt suit, y'all. We can't be uptight about these women coming in now. We have to teach them and lead by example. You understand what I'm saying? It's just so much that we can talk about on the show. This is why I used to do One Millie Word and I stopped, but now I'm on here one night and I'm all over the place now that I'm done with these topics because it's just so much. So if you guys want me to keep doing this, let me know. Give me some comments, post on Relationship Central page or whatever page I'm on. Please just let me know because I stopped doing One Millie Word because I felt that the climate wasn't right at the time for this kind of talk. It was a little bit too rough for that time. But the Lord, I feel, has released me in this time and set me in a place and given me multiple platforms where I can be myself. Because that's what I've been doing, and it seems to be working. So I'm going to keep doing what the Lord has given me to do and talking about what God has given me to talk about. I know it's real. I know it's raw. I know some of it may not be what you want to hear. But like I said, no man has a heaven or hell to put me in. And like I said, I don't answer to any organization. I don't answer to anybody but my husband and God. Sometimes my father. But what we need in the church in these times is truth. We need to study our Bibles and stop worshiping men. Because the preachers are not God. And I am one, so I'm not saying this with any ulterior motive. What I'm telling you, thank you. Maybe I will keep it going, sis. I appreciate you. I appreciate all the women. Y'all still on here strong, too. Thank you so much. God bless you. I appreciate all your input, all your time. I know you could be doing anything else tonight, but it was really on my heart to bless you guys with the topics of the myth of Boaz and detective work in marriage. Get over it or get out of it. If you missed it, run this video back. God bless you, Pastor Calvin, for coming in. Apostle Michelle Allen, God bless you. First Lady Johnson, Monique Brown, God bless you all. I'm so glad to see you on here tonight. If you just popped in, we talked about the myth of Boaz, whether we should wait or reach out if we're single. Also, we talked about detective work in dating. What if they have cheated? My advice on that was get over it and forgive or get out of it. Not advocating divorce, but if you don't get over it and keep bringing it up, the marriage will not work anyway, and you're wasting your time. So if you refuse to forgive and get over it and stop bringing it up and make new memories and make new firsts and go forward in God and start trusting and being faithful and a dutiful wife, if you're not going to do that, then just leave because you're wasting his time and yours. Okay. Also, as far as the myth of Boaz, for those of you that just popped in, my teaching, maybe you don't agree with it. It's okay to wait for Boaz. But I don't recommend doing that. I recommend, as far as waiting, I don't mean being thirsty now. I mean, you don't have to sit back and try to be unnoticed. I reached out to my husband, and I'm happily married today. When we look at the book of Ruth, she took some advice from her mother-in-law, Naomi, which I applied to a mother in the church or an elder woman or a woman that's older than you getting some wise counsel. Ruth told Naomi, I'm going to do exactly what you told me to do. She went down there. That's exactly what she did. She laid at his feet. She was there as a gentle presence. She didn't press him. She waited for the correct opportunity to make her request. She was known by Boaz as a virtuous woman, and she was bold in that request. She told him, she said, you know what? We're related. I'm alone. And I want you to take me as your wife because we can do that. She went, she followed what Naomi said, what a mother said, and she was gentle with that man. She didn't try to dominate him or force it on him. And she got a request answered. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. I'm a bold woman. Can't nobody tell me what to do, and I'm not trying to tell nobody else what to do. You be yourself. I mind my business. You mind yours. I preach the gospel. You take the gospel. We go home. You hear me? So that's the problem with some of these pastors. We try to get too far into people's beds, and we need to cut it out. We need to mind our business on some of that stuff. The bed is undefiled. That's what the scripture says. Your opinions about, I've heard somebody say that sex was for procreation only. That's for another night, y'all. That's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. It's in the Bible that it's for procreation, but not only. And we can talk about that maybe on the next Womanly Word. Sex is not just for procreation. It's for pleasure. It's for stress relief. It's for bonding. It's for all kinds of things. It's healthy. You hear me? It's healthy for your body physically. If you look at the book of Songs of Solomon, I don't think they were just thinking about making a baby. I mean, they were romancing one another. It was Jesus talking to his bride. I mean, it was a metaphor, and the man talking to the woman. I mean, it just didn't seem to me like they were thinking about having a baby. Honey, they were thinking about having some fun. Y'all better start having some fun with your husbands in the bedroom. Break the monotony. Stop sleeping in a separate room. Just stop. Stop putting up a facade. Be honest with yourself. We're talking about relationships here. We're talking about marriage. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm being real. We do a lot of counseling with married couples and stuff like that. We hear so much. We counsel other bishops and first ladies, other pastors and their wives secretly. Yes, we have problems too. There's a lot that goes in with this. People are people. I don't care if you're a pastor, first lady, whatever you are. You have problems too. You're not as holy as you think you are, or people think you are. All of us have our issues. All of us have our issues. No, we're not having no babies, Dr. Newell. We already established. I used too much because I'm not. You want to come in with me real quick, honey? I want to invite you in here because I want a man's point of view on some of this real quick before we hang up. I still have a few women on here, but I really want to thank you guys for coming in. Let me say this before you go off. Dr. Newell is doing a class every Wednesday night this month. It's called Accelerate. It's a Bible teaching, next level Bible teaching for the modern Christian. And what the class is, it's a practical class. And what it does is help you apply the Bible teachings to this modern age. Okay. We worship a God of an old Eastern faith, okay? So we're trying to apply these old Eastern Christian principles, and some of us even go back to Old Testament and still try to do some of those principles and go by some of those laws and principles as well. Uh-oh, here he is. We try to go by those laws and principles as well and things like that. And so applying it to a modern Western country is difficult. So we look at these scriptures and we get confused. We try to decipher them and we don't know. But that's what Dr. Newell is going to do for you with this class. Dr. Newell, why don't you talk to us about your class real quick? After you yawn. Tell us about your class. Can't hear you.
Can you see that?
Yep.
Who moved
my cheese? Okay. And what is the class about?
So it's a book about change. It's a book about change. So the whole class is about change. One of the biggest problems we have in Christianity, especially in churches today, nobody wants to change. Things have been the way, you know, it's been for so long. The usher board has been the way they've been for so long. The choir has been the way, and they don't find anything wrong with it. But then the problem with it, nothing's happening. It's not growing. It's just stagnant. It's dead. And in God, God's always moving.
Right.
You know, I mean, God is God. We consider God like current, even like a currency. Currency, if it just stays in one place, is really no good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you put your money in the bank, they're taking it. You may not be moving it, but they're taking it, moving it, because it goes from one place to another place that it may what grow. So, you know, if we don't change, we don't grow. You know, and that's the reason a lot of Christians haven't grown on in their relationships and their marriages, with their kids, or even on their jobs, because they're not willing to what? Change.
Right.
And when you're willing to change, I mean, you had to change from darkness to light. Now that I'm in the light, I got to go from light to light, because I might have, when I first came in the light, I might have seen things kind of dimly, but as I grow, the light should get brighter and brighter and brighter, you know, and so, but unless I'm willing to change, that don't happen. So that's what the class is about, basically, changing in God.
So that's every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. at the Community Missionary Baptist Church on the corner of 148th and Central in Compton, in the city of Compton, California. I have been in one of Dr. Newell's classes a long time ago. He did this class, and it was life-changing. Let me just tell you guys, Pastor Janae says she has the book. Wonderful. The preacher is coming out. No, not tonight. So that class is phenomenal. He parallels the book with the Bible. And the book is not anything spiritual, so it's no New Age stuff or anything weird or anything like that. Businesses use this book. Corporations use this book. It's just a book about change. And what the church is having a problem with is change, is adjustment, adaptation, not compromise, adapting. So this class is going to help the modern Christian adapt to this modern age and figure out how to navigate, because we become frustrated with a lot of the stuff we see in the world and we don't know how to deal with it. We just get angry. Isn't that right?
Yeah, but you know, just like the book, and see, that's the, we're not willing, the Bible says the children of darkness are more wiser than the children of light, and we're not willing to adapt anything. This is a book used by, they've used it in Fortune 500 companies. I mean, just some of the companies, AAA, Goodrich, Apple, AT&T, Avis, I mean, the list of it just goes on. National Bank, NCAA, I mean, the list of people that are companies and people that have used this book, you know, to get their people to understand change. And that, I mean, that's, when you can adapt to change, you can grow. If you can't adapt to change, well, then you're stuck. And life just, either you stay where you are and die, or you grow. It's just like this life right now. I mean, 20 years ago, it wasn't like it is now. I had to learn a whole bunch of new stuff along with everybody else. We had to learn the iPhone. We had to learn the computer all over, because now you got Windows, and not just one. You got Windows 2, 4, 6, 10, 12, you know. And, you know, it keeps going on. So life is ever changing, and if we're not willing to adapt to the change, we get left behind.
Absolutely. And Dr. Newell...
Right now is in a change. Things are changing, and if the church don't begin to change, then they're going to die out, because the millennials say, hey, this isn't working for me.
Exactly.
We have to change
time. Exactly. And let me tell you, and Dr. Newell has this relationship guide. It's going to be awesome when it's published. This is just, it's amazing. But listen to me. This modern age, we got people, let me tell you guys, there are pastors out there purposely trying to drive old folk out of their churches because they're tired of being held back. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's right. But we have to be able to accept change. We have to be able to adapt. We cannot ridicule these young people coming in church with their gifts because maybe they dress a little differently or their makeup is too bold for us. We cannot do this anymore, or our churches will die. We cannot continue to have a problem with women preaching the gospel. We have to get over it. It is what it is. If you guys are smart, you pastors, and I'm not rebuking you or trying to tell you what to do, but what I'm telling you is what I know. If you are smart, you will embrace it during this time, and my husband will tell you the same thing.
Well, look at it this way. Jesus, when Jesus came along, they didn't want to accept what? The change.
Right. And they don't now.
That's their point. And they didn't. So now what? The Jews got left behind because they didn't want to accept.
But explain to us why it's okay for women to preach the gospel. Because I got several examples. They're using this one scripture about women being silent in the church. and not usurping authority over men. It's, and those scriptures are continually being taken out of context. Explain that to us.
Well, the scripture, first of all, the scripture says that women should be silent in the church. Basically, when you teach the Bible, you got to teach the Bible from the period in time it was written, the culture of the people that you're dealing with, and all that has to come to play in teaching the Bible. So now, we're talking about them over in the East. So with them being in the East, they had those cultures where women were at that point in time almost like property.
Right.
You didn't speak. We were silent. They weren't even allowed to sit in the synagogues or sit with the men as they taught. That's why when Mary came and sat at Jesus' feet when he was teaching, everybody got upset.
Right.
They say she was out of place. She shouldn't have been there. So now, because of the way they taught, the women would sit outside the sanctuary, in a sense, on the outer court area. And then what would happen is the rabbi was teaching the people, the women, I can't hear, what did he say? Honey, what did he say? Whatever she called her husband. And then she called him to find out what he said. You're disturbing the service. So that's why that if you look at it, you got to read the whole scripture. The Bible says, for the woman to be silent in her church and be taught at home by her husband. So now what I'm going to do when I get home, then I'm going to tell you, then you come up and say, what did he say? Now I got the opportunity and the freedom to speak as loud as I want because we're at home and tell you what the rabbi said, what he was talking about. So that's what that scripture meant. It didn't mean women could preach the gospel because preaching the gospel is only proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
For the woman at the well, when Jesus told her that all about herself, what did she do? She went and proclaimed the gospel. She went and told the men of the city, come see a man that has told me all about myself. What was she doing? Preaching what? Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Go ahead.
No, I was just piggybacking on your point. It there's so many examples. Even in the New Testament, you had Phoebe. She was a deacon. You had in the Old Testament, you had Deborah, who was a military leader and a prophetess, and she did not usurp authority over her husband. You had so many people, like you said, Mary sat at Jesus' feet. That was only the place of someone being taught by a rabbi, and women couldn't be taught by rabbis at that point, but Jesus was okay with it. You have so many instances in the Bible where women were used as disciples. Mary Magdalene followed him as a disciple. Women weren't allowed to do that in the beginning either. And so when Jesus came, he broke a lot of barriers. And women, there's in this time we live in now with Women's Lib and all this stuff happening with sexual harassment and things going on in the news, I am telling you guys, and I am in no way a spiritual feminist. I am not a feminist. I am a Christian woman, a virtuous woman, who believes that right is right and wrong is wrong. I believe that women are equal as human beings, but when you are married, you are to be a submissive wife to your husband. Any other man, you will not tell me what to do. And that's just the way it is. Unless you are in authority over me in some way or whatever in ministry, of course I will respect you. But what I'm telling you right now is that I do not answer to any man but my husband and God. And I'm telling you that right now. It's a different time. Women are preaching. Get over it. And it's going to continue. It's going to continue. It's going to, what I'm saying, honey, is that there's so many people stubborn about it. They're so stubborn to the point that they'll let their churches go into the ground and close the doors because of an opinion. The gospel.
If I'm preaching the gospel, I'm proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm proclaiming what we say as preachers all the time. I'm proclaiming the death, burial, and what? Resurrection.
And resurrection.
Okay. So now, the first person to preach about the resurrection or tell about the resurrection was who? A woman.
Yes. Absolutely.
That was the first person. She went to
Mary Magdalene. He is risen.
Carried the resurrection.
The good news. It was a woman. It was Mary Magdalene that ran back to them and said, he is risen. Why isn't it okay for women to preach the gospel? Let me tell you all men something. No disrespect to you pastors. If you don't get over it, your church is going to die. And I have made the statement, hey, y'all, how y'all doing? Bless you all that are on here right now. I told y'all womanly word was bold and brazen, and I was not kidding. That's why I stopped doing the show, because folk wasn't ready 2-3 years ago. But I'm back, and I'm saying what needs to be said. You guys have to move forward with the times. You have to adapt to the times. This is the entire reason God sent Jesus, well, part of the reason God sent Jesus here, was to rectify the relationship that was broken between us and him, and to make what was supposed to be right, that had been made wrong by the Pharisees and greedy, lying, power-hungry, power-seeking, attention-seeking people that messed up everything. Jesus had to come back and set that stuff back in order. What I'm saying to you guys right now is that you are messing things up again. You are messing things up again. Where is the love? Where is the respect? Where is the respect for the word of God and the study of the word of God? Especially for the preachers out there sitting up there, won't allow a woman in your pulpit. Something wrong. I won't come to your church. And I won't recommend anybody to come there if you're talking like that and still acting like that. That is so outdated, it's ridiculous. I mean, it honestly is. And it's time for you guys to move forward, or you're going to get left behind. There's been times where, you know, and I'm not saying this because I'm venting. Nobody has done anything to me. I haven't been the victim of any discrimination as of yet. I mean, shoot, I'm pastoring, basically. Assistant. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But I don't run around, you know, putting that at people like it's, I don't care about no title. I don't care about any of that. I care about the people of God. We care about building the kingdom. We care about people. We care about, you know, it's just so much mess, like so many politics and things like that. And then if we would just get together on things and unify on things, we could be so powerful. It's not about competition in church. It's not about gender and all that stuff. There's order. I believe in order, and I believe in submission and marriage and women being the weaker vessel. I believe all of that. But I believe truth. And if I don't see it in the Bible, I'm not going by it. You done?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to push you on out of here. Bye.
Later.
Thank you guys for coming on tonight. I'm going to let you go for this evening. I really enjoyed you guys, though. Thank you so much for everybody that tuned in on Blog Talk Radio. Those of you that were sitting here with me all this time, please come to our Singles 101 last Thursday this month, and April and May as well. Also to Accelerate, that's every Wednesday night in March. That's Dr. Newell's class for the modern Christian, next level teaching. If you come to Singles 101, we will give you something like this. This is a folder that has a self-evaluation worksheet. It also has some information about us, and behind there is some more information about singledom. We are focusing on the singles this time, but we will start our class for the married folk after that. So don't worry, we have not forgotten about you. So please just support us in that. Our church is having our 62nd anniversary this Sunday at 10 a.m. Community Missionary Baptist Church, 148th and Central Ave. We have a women's Bible study as well Monday night. I didn't get to make it tonight because we had some other plans, but we have a women's Bible study Monday nights at 7 p.m. The men meet once. We have so much going on. You guys visit us. Visit our page, Community MBC, our website, all of that. Visit Relationship Central, our page on here. We have all of our information about the events that we're going to be doing coming up. We're going to have Dr. Rael with us in May. You guys, I want to give you some information to look him up. He studies body language, and he can give you so much intricate information about how to read things. So we're going to have him, because I'm all about it, you guys. We're going to hook you up, and we're going to give you this wisdom and knowledge. So follow us on Relationship Central with Dr. and Lady Newell. We're on Facebook at Newell's RC, on Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff, I think. So anyway, just follow us. I appreciate you guys. I love you guys. And I'm out. God bless.